Singer-songwriter Ryan Adams has been just as prolific, churning out some 20 albums in the last 10 years, taking off in new creative directions each time. But as much as he was admired for his music, his hard partying, battles with labels and bandmates and journalists got attention as well. Now, sober, recovered from health problems, and fresh off a 2-year break from music, Adams is back on tour with tunes from his latest album, Ashes and Fire. I asked him about the sound of the title track, we're hearing it now, which I think has a bluesy country feel. But I figured I'm just biased from having lived in Nashville. He agreed, about the bias anyway.
Everybody that spent time in Nashville has a story. I have to get that out of you. I wanted it to sort of musically and sonically feel like the feeling you get when you're sort of overheated in a car and you're driving someplace in the summer and the windows are down, but it's still very warm. I think somehow that idea ended up permeating into the themes and some of the other songs.
And then the wind was suddenly sweeter than Roosevelt.
I'm curious about your writing style. I read that you work on a typewriter. Is that true for
Yes.
some of your lyrics?
Yeah.
And is it usually lyrics first, then instrumentation, or the opposite? Sort of how do the songs come to you?
There definitely isn't a structure anymore about how I get ideas. A lot of times I'll just write down a phrase or I'll have an idea that's attached to just a few chords. Other times it's work. I go to my office in L.A. and there's this thing I do, and it's this game that I play with myself. It's really bizarre to explain this, but it's called Stacks. And there's a bunch of books on the left, and there's a bunch of books on the right, and they're very different kinds of books. And then there's me in the middle with my feelings, and I do this weird research where I sort of read lines from books on the left, and then I read lines from books on the right until something strikes an emotional chord in me.
One day there was a silence and a wash through the town. There was no reason to speak and no one made a sound.
The thing that you do so well in your writing is make it sound intimate and almost journal-like. I feel like I'm learning something about you, the songwriter. When I think of a song like Save Me, that feels very personal.
What am I doing here in the setting sun with the wind?
Well, you know all the tunes, even the ones when I do the Stacks game, I can't win unless by the end of it I'm uncomfortable with the information because I'm scraping the bone a little. Either that or they have to be really funny. And something like Save Me, it was one of those songs where I kind of heard it. There's no way to explain this process without sounding like a complete lunatic, but I had a mental impression of that song already. Like, I knew what that song was meant to do, and I knew what it sounded like without knowing the chords, and I knew that that was the chorus.
Somebody save me. It's just too much pain. If someone can save.
And when I wrote Save Me, I was going through this period of time where for the last couple of years I've moved to the West Coast and there was a feeling of being lost in a really kind of beautiful way, in fact. But still, there was this letting go that was happening, which was really hard to put into words to describe it the way that it was. And it felt better to write a song called Save Me with that chorus.
in the early dawn, with your heavy head and your careless heart, where you been?
I'd read that you had taken a break from doing music, I think around 2009, due to health problems. And yeah. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what made you hit the pause button.
I have been struggling with a hearing issue for a long time, and I didn't know what it was. Part of it was due to too much volume, and because I'd already had this genetic thing of basically the inner ear canal in my left ear, it sort of blew up, I guess. And the stress of what was happening was all caused by this thing called Meniere's disease, where you feel the symptoms are you feel nauseous and dizzy. But also there's extreme tinnitus, which is like a car alarm that's just outside of like your bedroom on the street, but 24 hours a day. And then it's at different volumes and frequencies.
What did this mean for a songwriter as prolific as you are? I mean, did you just stop music?
There were nights that I just couldn't hear. It's middle tones, too. So what's interesting is I could hear the bass, lower frequencies, and I could hear the very high stuff, but I couldn't hear the middle, and I couldn't hear my own voice. It got to the place where I just thought I have to stop, and just basically for 6 months slept.
What was it like getting back to your music after that period? How does this affect the kind of music that you make? Or the sound of it, I guess, is really the question.
Well, I think one of the things that I realized was is that the ear stuff and the struggles that I was having, they were all meant to be, because I think I just ended up in this place where by the time I could play again, all I wanted to do was play acoustic guitar. And then I wanted to write songs that were basically, they were beautiful on their own. They didn't need any accompaniment.
Flickers in my eye like a memory. I am not rocks, I am not rain, I'm just another shadow in the stream that's been washed away. After all these years, I am not rocks in the river, I am birds singing in tears for you.
When I was reading interviews from the last couple of years, I have to admit, I got kind of nervous.
Yeah, I'm really
and
sorry.
I wasn't sure, you know, like how it would be. And I think that the thing that's most fascinating is you just seem so comfortable in who you are.
That makes me really happy. I think I had some weird times. I was very earnest and very lost guy for a long time. I've hopefully come out the other end of the spectrum.
I believe the sun still rises here. When it falls, there is something to be said for the calm at night. The stars above are so cold and bright.
Is there a song on the album that is very meaningful for you? Either it was a challenge in creating it or that brings you a lot of joy to perform?
I'm still blown away playing Dirty Rain. I go to a different place in my mind when I play it. It's unbelievable. And the way that it all kind of flows together, it kind of carries me along with it. And even if it's not a good song, because I can't know since I made it, just being in it physically is so awesome. It's one of those tunes, like, you wait 5 or 10 years and you find one or two of those and you're like, oh, that's what I was waiting for.
Last time I was here, it was raining. It ain't raining.
Ryan Adams joined me in the studio. His new album, Ashes and Fire, is out now, and he's currently on tour. Ryan Adams, thanks so much for taking the time to come in.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just looking through the rubble, trying to find out who we were.
Ryan Adams performed two songs from the album, plus a cover of his favorite metal tune here in our studios. To hear them, go to our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish, saying so long for now. For the next year, National Security Correspondent Rachel Martin will be sitting in this chair while I move to our daily program, All Things Considered, for the 2012 election season. It's been an honor and a pleasure sharing Sunday mornings with you. All the best in the new year from all of us at NPR. And your coat was full of bullet holes last time.